Hello? Testing, testing. Is this working? I haven't used one of these since the start of uni, and that one broke in the middle of the semester, but okay, I think it's working. I think it's recording. Okay, here goes. Where do I start? I don't know if my mummy loves me. Now, obviously, she's not my real mummy. 11 months ago, I didn't even know this woman. But to say we've got to know each other in that time would be an understatement. She's been almost my sole source of food, shelter, and sexual release for a long time now. Now, why do I say I don't know if she loves me? Because she confuses me. Why do I say almost my sole source of these things? Well, that's what led me to questioning myself about mummy, because last month everything changed. It had been months since I tasted a man's cum. That hot August day, the oral sex didn't last long, but it was intensely erotic nonetheless. Andy, the pool boy, maintenance tech, resident stoner, and occasional weed dealer for the complex, whatever, I don't know. Andy had seen me one night when Mummy was away working late. I'd pressed my small but firm, I was at, tits against the glass of the sliding balcony door for his enjoyment. And I did this a couple more times before he finally knocked my unit's door a week later. Then one thing led to another, as they say, and finally Andy and I were at each other, hiding in the bushes. I got an extra thrill from knowing I wasn't allowed outside without Mummy's permission. So it was fast, and with evidence disposal in mind, I made sure to swallow everything once I could feel the warm liquid hit my tongue. But God, it was still such a breath of fresh air after my near total confinement. Well, maybe breath of fresh air isn't the right way to put it, since he didn't let me get much air as he held the back of my head down while I bobbed and slurped. There also wasn't time to do much about my own horniness. While sucking him off, I could feel a wet spot on my thong panties. But there just wasn't time. I was taking enough of a risk as it was. Mummy could be home any minute now. Normally, I could plan my indiscretions because I could spot her souped up aggressively red Dodge Charger, that's a car, from the kitchen window, but the pool and those bushes were on the other side of the courtyard, so no such luck. Therefore, any business to finish, like dealing with my aching cunt brought on by imagining how much I'd love to ride Andy's cock or my dildo, would have to wait until I was back where I was supposed to be, where Mummy wanted me to be. Mummy. Her real name is Victoria. Victoria de Camp, 48 years old. Tall for a woman, always wearing wickedly fashionable heels. You might recognise the name. The de Camps are old money from Canada, having amassed a fortune from a disturbing, anachronistic animal fur business. So yeah, anyway, she has money, a lot of money. It's not a coincidence that my home, workplace, prison, I don't know what to call it. Anyway, it's no coincidence we're on the penthouse level. And it shouldn't be a surprise that Victoria bought out the neighbouring units too, to rent them out as side income, she claimed, to those outside a little bubble. But I know the real reason. I've lived the real reason. Her unwavering control over me. I met Victoria when I was 19 years old. I was a fresh face at one of the big five accounting firms. I could tell she was interested, but I didn't know just how interested until one evening, a couple of months into my internship. She frequently worked late and often had me working late too. She called me into her office on the pretense of a wine refill, but she also had like a stern tone. I wasn't in legal or career trouble, but I was nevertheless about to be drawn into her sick games. 11 months of sick games, it turned out. I wish I could say it's because she plied me with alcohol that night, but no, I was thinking clearly, at least as far as the booze was concerned. I think what got me in trouble was a combination of her lust for my 9.5 out of 10 body, and I'm not bragging, I'm just reporting what boyfriends have told me, my horny nature, I started masturbating early, and my raunchy desire to lick some pussy. The conversation went from, do you have a boyfriend, to are you able to pay your bills and intern wages, to have you ever been with a woman, to, well, get over here then and smell and taste it. In such a rapid fashion that my head swam, and not from that rare vintage of wine. That night, I smelled her pussy juices. I licked her clit eagerly until she came twice. And, I'm ashamed to admit it now, I let her use my tight vagina like it was just one of her office's desk toys. Except it wasn't a toy, it was my soft, sensitive body part. And when I tried to tell her, not so rough, please, she acted like she barely heard me. Her eyes were locked down there, eyeing my pussy as it came and clenched around her fingers, as if it were her property. And I guess, in a way, it did end up being hers after all. And while she'd rarely use physical force to control me, the golden handcuffs of her money and her mind games could be just as strong. The day after I licked, sucked, and serviced her pussy, I found a dozen crisp red roses at the foot of my apartment door, and an envelope slid under the door, an envelope containing a $5,000 gift card to my favourite clothing shop, that favourite being a fact she learnt from me when I delivered it with a groaning, panting voice, as she had two fingers jammed deep in my vagina the previous night. I ended up moving out of the apartment long after. And this is why mummies, Victoria's, the M word is still such a habit now, Victoria's behaviour confuses me. She can be surprisingly generous at times. This is why it's taken 11 months for me to question things. I was pretty sure this whole thing was all voluntary. I was pretty sure I was still in control, if only somewhere deep in my mind. I liked that I no longer had to go to work. I liked that I had my life all planned out for me. I even liked a good portion of the many, many sexual events that occurred in that 36th floor penthouse. But Victoria could be downright cruel too. Like, after she caught me this August, caught me with my face buried in Andy's lap just behind the pool. Caught me going down on his shaft with gusto like it was a fucking popsicle I'd found in the desert. I'd swallowed his cum happily, making sure none dripped down my chin. I made sure that the doormat was lined just as Victoria liked it. I even made up a story about needing to get wine for that night from a nearby place to account for me having left the apartment that muggy afternoon. I thought I was in the clear. I was wrong. See, I knew we had cameras inside our unit. She had plenty of twisted uses for those. Her pleasure, of course, but also blackmail, maybe. But I didn't think she'd have cameras outside as well, and I could justify leaving the fancy apartment as part of a trip to the store. But I could not justify being in those bushes. No, ma'am, not at all. I had been somewhere I wasn't explicitly allowed to be, and that invited fury. So I was punished. Not as badly as I'd feared, but I was punished. She didn't even say much when she got home from the office that night. Just gave me a smirk, a quick dismissive smack across the face, and an order to assume the position. The position, like, isn't what you think. She wasn't going to spank me. I mean, yeah, she might slap my tits a few times. She might choke me briefly, call me a useless whore. But those things weren't the main point of the position. The main point of the position was her absolute and total control of my vagina, my clit, my young womanhood, as it were. Basically, my world shrank down to those few inches of vulnerable body parts when I was in the position. I was made to put my ankles in cuffs so that my legs were spread wide. My pussy is extremely tight so it doesn't gape in the position, but Victoria would see to it that it didn't matter. My wrists went in cuffs too. Finally, a towel or two under my bare bottom to catch the juices. And there were always lots and lots of juices. She loved her games, Victoria did. Despite being a workaholic, arriving home at 7 or 8 or 9 p.m. most nights, she had ample time and energy for her games. The game she loved most was Please Mummy. A simple game, really, but simple doesn't mean easy. I was always exhausted by the end of it, always begging, sometimes in tears, sometimes just spent and compliant. Please Mummy could be played one of two ways. One way was Please Don't Force Me Mummy, where Victoria would use the vibrator and other tools to make me come over and over and over again. and come so much that even my thigh and stomach muscles ached and quivered. You might think that this game doesn't sound so bad, right? I mean, I get to come. I'm not talking a half hour or hour long game played by lovers. This game would go on for so long that she'd have me take shower breaks because I get too sweaty and musky for her taste. So long that my stomach growled from hunger by the end of it. And so long that, well, yes, you guessed it, given the game's name, so long that I'd cry out, "Please, mummy, please stop making me come. Please stop abusing my clit. Please give my aching vagina a rest. Please stop the initially delicious but relentless and overwhelming spasms that you've sent my private part into for I don't know how many hours." So that's the forced version of the game. But after August's incident, since it involved a guy and involved me choosing that guy, I knew I wouldn't be getting that version of the game. I'd be getting the other one instead, the "please let me, mummy," as in "please let me come." This version involved Victoria bringing me to the edge, then stopping, or bringing me all the way to the start of the orgasm, then ruining it, letting my pussy contract for her amusement. I wonder if there's anyone else on the planet who's so utterly fascinated by the contractions of a 20-year-old woman's pussy. She was really nuts about it. She also enjoyed using her perfect timing to flick my clit with a fingernail. It fucking hurt. Just as I was coming, so that the orgasm vanished just as it was starting. There are many stories like this that I could recount. Maybe I will another time. Maybe I'll tell you a story and it'll make you horny, and you'll get so horny you'll have to fuck me. I have plenty of stories, believe me. Like the time she caught me masturbating without permission. A huge no-no, as she called it, always with the obnoxious baby talk. Let me tell you, that one orgasm that lasted for maybe 3 seconds was not worth it. What the hell, I'm getting horny anyway, I might as well finish that little story. So, okay. She invited someone from the office to our unit after catching me playing with myself that boring rainy April afternoon. Not just the office, but our office, meaning the office I used to work at as her intern. So, yeah, I got to get filmed getting ploughed by Eric, whom I knew from the office, and not just ploughed, but used all weekend. He came on my face and photos were taken. He came on my perky, slapped, reddening tits and photos were taken. They laughed as I told them my pussy was sore and I didn't want to get slammed doggy again or forced to ride a thick dildo again while they filmed and made demeaning comments. And the whole time there was something extra humiliating about it. This time a third party was brought in to view the trial my tight cunt went through. It wasn't just Victoria and me in private. So yeah, that happened. And also, she made me sleep in the closet for a weekend. For both contrast with that night with Eric and as a punishment, she forbade me from masturbating or coming in any way for a month that ended with a session of "please don't, mummy," naturally. But at the end of May, all was seemingly forgiven. And I even got a new king-size bed, complete with high thread count Egyptian cotton, as something, as a bribe, a reminder, an inside joke, I don't know. Mummy, mummy this, mummy that, mummy can do whatever she wants while I'm cooped up in a lonely flat all day, while I wonder what I'm doing with my life despite the luxurious surroundings. That's why, after the post-August punishment night, I decided to see how far I could trust Andy, to see if he could help me break the cycle. And I'll be frank, I wanted cock too. So that's why Andy and I came up with a plan for a floor-wide power shut-off under the guise of a last-minute building maintenance. No power meant no cameras. No cameras meant Victoria's prying eyes were somewhere on the other side of the state, attending a conference, where even checking the camera's live feeds on her phone would do her no good. So no prying eyes meant no one to see while I bounced up and down on Andy's rigid penis in the maintenance shed, laughing giddily when I felt his thick sperm shoot into me. No one to hear my high whiny pleading for him to do it again, but this time to paint my face with a load. No one to tell me if I could come, when I could come, or how much. So, when Andy gets this recording later today, I'm going to do a dead drop like in the spy movies, he'll know. And anyone else will know too if this ever gets out. God, that would kill me with embarrassment. He'll know that blowjob behind the pool that hot August day wasn't merely casual fun. He'll know it was something more. A chance for new beginnings, a fresh start, a chance to finally escape mummy.